Time now for the worship service of Our Savior Lutheran Church here on AM 1380 WPHM Port Huron.
Thank you very much, Jeremy. Good morning.
Good morning.
For those on radio, WPHM podcast, those of us in-house at Our Savior Port here in Michigan, greetings. We have a brilliant sunlight this morning, and the stained glass window of the Ascension looks great, lit up just for us. Beautiful. It always is, those hues, those colors in the glass. We're glad you're here. We celebrate Eucharist this day during the season of Lent. Do want to kind of say some things. Today is St. Patrick's Day, but that's not a religious holiday. But we are doing a potluck this day. So remind everybody, join us after the 11 o'clock service or around 12:15. We shall join together our foods and have a wonderful time of fellowship. So if you can come back or just stay for it, we appreciate it. Following this worship service at 9:30, we meet, we believe, in the classroom, right, Kathy?
Yes.
Okay, in the classroom down the hallway. Would it be anybody interested or some ideas or just to listen for plans for next year's 100th anniversary, our birthday, February of next year? Please join us. That way we can dialogue face to face as opposed to electronic communications, okay? So that's this Sunday, today, 9:30, down the hallway in the classroom. We've notified, I didn't want to do it prematurely because it's the family's responsibility, so they have the first shot. But on Friday morning at 6:25, Iris Cook, organist with us for over 6 years, passed away, or, as I like to reframe it, graduated to the kingdom of God. So she has left this earth and now will be with God's people in the resurrection. It was a long haul for her these last, oh geez, 2 or 3 months. It's just phenomenal in terms of what she was bearing under. But some people who call her, and I know one person who's listening to this radio broadcast said, I wonder why Iris never called me back. Well, the last 10 days, she hasn't used a cell phone, was not capable of turning it on and off. And then it was a slippery slide. The last 3 days, she was unconscious. And then she passed away, graduated on Friday morning. So Emma has taken wonderful care of her. Iris was blessed because she had a retired nurse from her congregation of Seventh-day Adventists who was like a personal care nurse for her. She sat at her bedside, she talked to the staff of MetaLodge. She was there every day. And she helped out where she could. And when she was ambulatory and last, well, 2 years, she had to be transported to doctors in different communities. It was Iris who took her. Just an incredible woman, woman of faith, just a beautiful lady. And like I said, she was a 30-year nurse down in Dayton, Ohio. She and I have a little bit in common because I did my year of internship in Centerville, Ohio. It's a suburban community of Dayton. When I was there, it was extremely wealthy. And Kettering is where the Seventh-day Adventist Hospital is. And she was a nurse there. She did working with births and working with pregnancies. So incredible nursing skill lady. And now it's time for her to resume her life because it's been on hold. For those who know Iris, she was a woman of this community. Everybody sort of knew her, and she had a foot in virtually every door of the churches. She played at Salvation Army on Thursdays. I knew her schedule. She played for the old timers, old agers, whatever they call themselves. They are. No, she had a word for it. And then on Tuesday nights, she got involved with the Reorganized Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And she did Christian karaoke and played for that. She played at Grace Episcopal when they were down without an organist. So I notified Lydia about her passing and played at her own church, played here. When we had Lenten luncheons last spring, she was playing for them. She just was everywhere, giving her talents away. So really beautiful. So it's time for her to rest. And we thank God that we had her in our midst, in our ministries here at Our Savior. So this week we have a memorial service for Doug McLean, who passed away on Christmas Day 2018. Finalized plans with the bagpipe player last night. Finalized plans with the family. Finalized plans with Jim Wendt. Jim is coming back from Tennessee for Doug, as well as for his sister's birthday Tuesday. So Barb's probably listening to this. And he'll be here Monday, he figured, Tuesday at the latest. And her birthday is Tuesday, and then he'll be here for Thursday's memorial service. He will be my assisting minister because he and Doug and myself, we did a lot of things together. So I've asked him, and the family is so delighted that Jim can come up from Tennessee to be here, to be assisting. So we're ready to worship. This is the here and now. This is where we gather. And we gather with the confession of sin. If you'll please rise. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, who gathers us in the wilderness to redeem us, to anoint us, and to make us new. Amen. In these 40 days, let us be honest. Let us confess our sin and receive God's promise of mercy. God, at the margins, we have wandered far from your home. Again and again, we lose our way. We turn inward, afraid of the world around us. We forget that you have saved your people before and promised to do so again. Do not remember the deeds of our past, but turn our faces towards the future, where your forgiveness is sure, your welcome is clear, and your love overflows. Amen. Like a hen who gathers her chicks, God embraces you in tender care. Like manna in the desert, God feeds you with surprising mercy. Like a loving parent, God runs to meet you again this day, forgiving your sins for the sake of Christ, leading you from death into life. Amen. We sing our entrance hymn, Lead On, O King Eternal.
Fields of conquest, your tents will be ours.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Our hymn of praise comes out of the Lutheran Book of Worship. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth.
Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth. Lord God, heavenly King, almighty God and Father, we worship you, we give you thanks, we praise you for your glory. Lord Jesus Christ, only Son of the Father, Lord God, Lamb of God, you take
be with you.
And also with you.
If you'll join me in the prayer of the day, we shall pray. God of the covenant, in the mystery of the cross, you promise everlasting life to the world. Gather all peoples into your arms and shelter us with your mercy, that we may rejoice in the life we share in your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. If you'll please be seated, we have the reading of God's Word. First reading is Jane.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Our first reading is from Genesis chapter 15. Verses 1 through 12, 17 through 18. God promises a childless and doubting Abram that he will have a son, that his descendants will be as numerous as the stars, and that the land of Canaan will be their inheritance. Abraham's trust in God is sealed with a covenant-making ceremony, a sign of God's promise. The reading begins. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great. But Abram said, O Lord God, what will you give me? For I continue childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus. And Abram said, You have given me no offspring, and so a slave born in my house is to be my heir. But the word of the Lord came to him, This man shall not be your heir. No one but your very own issue shall be your heir. He brought him outside and said, Look toward heaven and count the stars, if you are able to count them. Then he said to him, So shall your descendants be. And he believed the Lord, and the Lord reckoned it to him as righteousness. Then he said to him, I am the Lord who brought you from Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land to possess. But he said, O Lord God, how am I to know that I shall possess it? He said to him, Bring me a heifer 3 years old, a female goat 3 years old, a ram 3 years old, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. He brought him all these and cut them in two, laying each half over against the other, but he did not cut the birds in two. And when birds of prey came down on the carcasses, Abram drove them away. As the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram, and a deep and terrifying darkness descended upon him. When the sun had gone down and it was dark, a smoking fire pot and a flaming torch passed between these pieces. On that day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, "To your descendants I give this land, from the river of Egypt to the great river, the river Euphrates." This is the word of God, the word of life.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, Jane. Second reading by Kathy Cole.
The second reading comes from the book of Philippians, chapter 3, verses 17. Brothers and sisters, join in imitating me and observe those who live according to the example you have in us. For many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. I have often told you of them, and now I tell you even with tears. Their end is destruction, their God is the belly, and their glory is in their shame. Their minds are set on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and it is from there that we are expecting a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He will transform the body of our humiliation that it may be conformed to the body of his glory, by the power that also enables him to make all things subject to himself. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm in the Lord in this way, my beloved. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, Kath. If you're able to stand, we rise for the gospel acclamation. We speak together. The Son of Man must be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. The gospel lesson for this day is from Luke's gospel, 13th chapter, beginning with the 31st verse. Glory to you, O Lord. Now at that very hour, some Pharisees came and said to Jesus, "Get away from here, for Herod wants to kill you." Jesus said to them, "Go and tell that fox for me. Listen, I am casting out demons, I'm performing cures today and tomorrow. On the third day, I must finish my work. And yet today, tomorrow, and the next day, I must be on my way, because it's impossible for a prophet to be killed outside the city of Jerusalem." Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stone those who are sent to it. How often have I desired to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, but you were not willing. See, your house is to be left to you, and I tell you, whoever does not see me until the time comes when you will say, 'Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord.'" This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. For those on radio with us, WPHM, for those of us who listen to it on a podcast, and for us in-house or listening to us live on radio, God's grace, God's mercy, and God's peace be with us this day. If you look to the lessons, follow me, or look to the back inside cover, we're going to be talking about a bond that God has made with us called covenant, Bereth in Hebrew. It's the understanding that we stand in a privileged position over the animal kingdom through all of God's creation. We're at the height of it because God made a covenant with us, a living relationship that will endure not only in this life but in the life to come. The first experience, well, you can really kind of get it with Noah. The first experience of a covenant, remember the symbol of the rainbow? God will not destroy this earth by waters again. Talking with Jim Wendt last night, he said that rains that they got in Tennessee a couple of weeks ago, which flooded everything, he says it was almost like a Noah's Ark kind of experience. It just would not stop. Rivers were overflowing, bridges were being challenged. Seems like water was everywhere. And then he relented, he spoke back to me, he says, but in 24 hours, the earth was dry. And so it was for the Ark experience as well. The lands dried up and God's people would repopulate this earth. Then there was Abraham, who we have the text for. He was given a promise. As many as there are stars in the sky, grains of sand on the beach, so shall your descendants be. Fourfold blessing. I will bless you, Abraham. I will see to it that you will have descendants plenteous, and your name shall be honored and respected in the world, and your people will be a blessing to all the people of the earth. It was never meant for you alone. It was meant for the whole globe, all peoples, all languages, all races. The message that God is God. So Abraham received it, and the history of the Old Testament shows them sometimes heeding it, other times ignoring it. Moses comes along and receives the covenant in the commandments to encourage, command the people of God to obey God's will for their lives. Okay, so we get into the Genesis account, page 6 and 7. A little bit strange because there are several times that God comes to Abraham, because there is a period of over 25 years that he gets a promise before any fulfillment or signs of it can happen. He alludes to the fact that he has a child, but it was not by the Hebrew blood, because Sarai could not conceive, so he took it upon himself, Abraham, to kind of help God along, right? God needs our attention. No, he doesn't. And he took his slave woman, Hagar, to give birth to his first male son. Now, the Arab people like to say that Ishmael was the firstborn, and we were out of the loop. We take this passage and we say, no, the Hebrew firstborn child was Isaac. Abraham extended himself too far outside the will of God and trusting God for the descendant. And the Lord reiterates during this wait for Abraham and Sarai to conceive, but one day that will come. The angels visit him season before she becomes pregnant, and it's like constantly reminding him, it's coming, it's coming, it's coming. So if you think you have a hard time waiting for God to take action, should have been in the sandals of Abraham. He obeys God. God says some strange things, but you got to understand, Hebrew people had a sacrificial system of animals. You and I would find it grotesque and outrageous, but compare the Hebrew religion with the other religions of that era in that location, they would sacrifice humans. So the Hebrew is a gentle thing, but to many it's still grotesque. And obviously we don't need to do any more sacrifices. Jesus Christ was the final one. Glad that door is closed. We don't have to deal with that anymore. Jesus was the sacrifice. But in the course of things, he was the slaughter, two of these things, three as they're 3-year-olds. And then when he fell asleep, funny thing happened. Torch and things passed by him. When he wakes up in the morning, God reiterates the promise, the covenant, and he says, to your descendants, I will give this land, to the river of Egypt, to the great river, the river Euphrates. So the promise is reiterated, and we stand in the promise of God through Abraham. You go to the second reading, Philippians. The Apostle Paul says there is a clear understanding that when we have received Jesus Christ, we know Christ as our Lord and our Savior, that there's a way of life that God expects of us. There are many who in this world have chosen to ignore God, to worship the things of this world and pay God no mind at all. The Lenten theme is calling us every year back to refocus. Re-examine our lives and our orientation, what we're doing and what direction we're going in, so that we will re-tweak where we intend our life to be headed, so that we don't slip away inch by inch by inch and then yards by yards by yards from God. So consequently, when Paul writes, he says, "For many live as enemies of the cross, not the friends of Jesus. I've often told you of them, and now I tell you even with tears. Their end is going to be destruction. Their God is their belly, and their glory is in the shameful things they do in their lives. Their minds are set on earthly things." I don't know what your experience of the community and the world around you. I find as I listen to conversations, as I look to media and what we get out of Hollywood, as I look on television, read in the newspapers, hear it on radio and TV, it's like, did we forget somebody along this journey? Where was God in this picture? Now some will say, well, we took God out of the schools. No, we didn't. God is everywhere. It's the parents who don't reinforce it. It's not the school's fault. It's the understanding. As I've said over my years of ministry, oh, it was so bad when they took prayer. Yeah, I grew up in that generation when prayer was led by the teacher and the Lord's Prayer or whatever would be used was done. But as I've said to parents and youth, anytime you want to pray in school, you pray. Nobody knows you're praying. So don't tell me the world stopped you from praying. That's a lie. The question is, do you want to pray? And do you understand when you pray what that means? I say, like Luther said, every time when you and I wake up in the morning, we should start our day with a normal routine as Luther practiced. You start the day thanking God for your rise, and he gives a prayer for the morning. He also says, affirm your faith again with the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father, his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. I believe in the Holy Spirit. Then dedicate your day to God. Let God guide you, not your neighbor, you, in paths that are right and righteous for God, in serving him every day of our life at school or at home or in the community. Practice that and you'll grow, you'll be stronger, more conscious of God. Everything you do and touch should have a feel for God. You know, and as the writer of music, Johann Sebastian Bach, anything he did, you know, he always signed his works, his masterpieces, with to the glory of God. If we could cultivate in our minds that anything I touch, anything I do for somebody, for myself, receiving something from somebody, everything is for the glory of God. Don't you and I take God out of the equation. It's not government. It's not schools. It's us. If we don't name and claim God as the master of our life, we lose. Not. So don't slip away, as Paul says, about some of the people around him. They become so preoccupied by the world, their God is their belly. They eat so much, right? Gluttony, as he will say in other portions of the New Testament. But my brothers and sisters who I love and I long for, my joys and my crown, stand firm in the Lord in this way, my beloved. Come to the gospel lesson. It's kind of cute how Jesus deals with the threat to him and thwarting God's work through him. Some of the Pharisees come up to Jesus, who favored Jesus because his best friends were from the Pharisees. They were not from the Sadducees, which was the priestly people. The Pharisees were lay people who wanted to renew the faith by asking people to make a deeper commitment to obey God. Okay. But the Pharisees got a little overboard, more than Jesus would have had it. So they come to him and say, "You better get out of town. It's not safe for you to be here." Kind of sloughs it off and he says, "Listen, you tell that fox, you tell Pontius Pilate, the one who sits on that secular head of the government, listen, this is what I'm doing. I'm casting out demons. I'm performing cures today and tomorrow. Then on the last day, third day, I will finish my work." If you don't know what the third day means, you've missed it a long time because it's the resurrection day. On the third day, Jesus will finish his work by procuring our salvation and the promise of eternal life. And so Jesus just sloughs it off, the threat, because he knows and he stands in the power of God. He knows that the covenant God made with him, not only at his baptism, but in his birth. He had a different course than you and I have. He had a purpose driven to fulfill God's perfect will of obedience. And then the ultimate sacrifice to give his life for the sake of his people. So Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her. As a child, being a Jesus fanatic my whole life, ages 8 to probably 13 or 14, in my bedroom, I had a painting, lithograph, in an odd kind of shape. And it was a picture the artist made of Jesus looking over the city of Jerusalem, praying this prayer. Then it became kind of my mantra when I started having chickens. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how I would have loved to have gathered you together as a mother hen gathers her chicks. Now that's a concrete image if you ever had one. God is such a loving, compassionate, wanting all to be saved and not one lost, wants to gather us together that we may enjoy everything that the Father enjoys. But Jesus is realistic. But in fact, you did not want us to do this. You were not willing. So here's the consequence, right? Tough love. See, your house is left to you. And I tell you, you will not see me again until the time comes and you will say, "Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord." It's going to turn on you if you don't hold to me, as we have tried and tried and tried to get you to notice us. One of the things that I appreciate from the Old Testament to the New Testament, there's a phrase that repeats itself in one of the Psalms, one of the longer Psalms. It says, "The steadfast love of the Lord endures forever." And every phrase that's offered repeats the refrain, "And the steadfast love of the Lord endures forever." And it becomes so repeated, you say, I think he's trying to make a point. Yes, he is. God's love is that strong. Human love is not that way, right? Somebody does something wrong, we ignore them, shut them off, they're out of my life, I'm moving on without them. If God did that, let's see, where would we be? Well, we wouldn't have gotten out of the garden. We wouldn't have existed. We would have just been sapped. But the steadfast love of the Lord endures forever, in spite of our waywardness. Don't ever take it for granted. Paul writes, Romans 6, don't say to yourself, "Well, God forgives me, so I can go on and sin." No, that's not permissivity. Yeah, being permissive. God does hold us accountable. That's the reason we start the catechism with the Ten Commandments. There is a law on us. Christ broke the law. Christ fulfilled the law. But there's still the law. And you got to deal with God on God's terms. So Jesus Christ has a heart for the Father and a heart for his people. Many passages you'll kind of hopefully pick up as you learn the scripture of the New Testament. Jesus would come into a community or from a distance as he approached a group of people, townspeople, just commoners, no scholars, no theologians, just common people. He says, just look at them. They're like sheep without a shepherd. When God looks at us and he sees our waywardness and our disobedience, I'm sure God says, why don't they get it? What I've done for them and what I want back in return, and that's love and faithfulness to me and to my son. We are blessed people. We have received from God multitudes of blessings. We should never take it for granted, but we should live every day faithfully from morning, sunrise, to evening, going to bed, and thank God for all that God has given us. Amen. And now may the blessing of Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with us, remain with us always. Amen. Our hymn of the day, which happens to be the theme and scripture we've heard before, God so loved the world.
God love the world, son.
Our service continues with the affirmation of our faith. Please rise. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead, and on the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven, and he is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We pray. Scott leads us.
United as one body in Christ, let us pray for the church, the world, and all those in need. We pray for the church. Open us to listen to your word and to do your will. Direct us in paths of faithful service that reflect your love, Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
For the earth, your beloved creation, and our fragile home, for mountains and prairies, for cities and wilderness areas, renew places we have neglected or misused, where natural disasters have altered the land, help us to honor nature's healing, Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
For the nations, shine the light of truth into the world relationships hindered by mistrust or misunderstanding. Bring freedom and stability to all nations. Shelter those who have been displaced by war, famine, or natural disaster. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
For those in need, for those who struggle with shame or guilt, bring clarity to those whose judgment is clouded by fear, and comfort those who grieve and heal the sick, especially Sharon Cunningham, Maria Rumpf, Jerry Willer, Bob Gruet, Jim Wynn's sister, Iris Cook, Susan Phillips, Donald Seltzer, Donna Taylor's brother, Jill Harper, and Jeff Parker's Uncle David. But be with those serving our nation, Corey Middleton, Tristan Morrison, Jamie Soulier, Paul DeJean, and Jaron Soulier. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
In this assembly, deepen our faith and understanding and guide our ministries of hospitality and outreach. Renew us in the baptismal promise to care for others and the world that you have made. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Dear Lord, we ask you to be with the people of New Zealand as they deal with the senseless violence that has affected them. And we ask you to be with the victims of all violence. And put your loving hand of healing upon them. With thanksgiving, we remember those who have died, especially Iris Cook. Inspire us by the example and bring us with them into eternal light of your presence. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer. Receive our prayers and fill us with the radiance of your love. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always. Please be seated. We receive our gifts for the work of the Lord's church. Some of the things I just want to bring to your attention. This past week, Jerry Willer, 2.5 weeks ago, he had his first surgery. This week, he had two more surgeries. They placed the artificial joint into his knee on the second one. The third one, he had to be opened up because there was a large hematoma blood pocket that had to be taken out surgically. So he has seemed to have done well when I've talked to him. He has gone through a lot, needless to say, with three surgeries. That's never easy on the human body, but he relies on God and trusting for healing. Barb Gruet is home from being at St. John, Maine. She tried to call me this morning or last evening, and I wasn't able to take her call with other calls taking place. But she is improving her health from her stay down there, and that's what we want to hear, that she's doing better. For Iris Cook, I did not share at the beginning of the service, but the memorial service for Iris will be at Pollock Randall at 3 p.m. I have to write this down, you're going to see it many times. And on April the 13th, it's a Saturday in honor of the Sabbath that she respects. It will be at 3 p.m., Pollock Randall, myself, her pastor from the Seventh-day Adventist Church, and then the pastor of the, this is a first for me, the Reorganized Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. They are not the Mormons, as the pastor said Friday when I was there. I know he's not the Mormons. But it was the splinter group in Illinois that broke away, and Brigham Young took the people into Salt Lake City. That's the Mormons. The group of Reorganized broke away in Illinois after the leader was dragged out of a prison and executed by a vigilante group for his heresy. And the second group broke away and went on to St. Louis. They are the Reorganized Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. So he'll be officiating with me too. So the three of us. There's going to be music. I wonder why. She has made for us. And when I talked to Shirley MacLean last night about arrangements for Doug, the final ones, she said, oh, wasn't it neat how Iris made copies of CDs? So she made the CDs and sent them to Shirley in Pennsylvania while she's in the hospital, you know, the Meadow Lodge dying. Incredible lady. I thought, you got them, Shirley? Yeah, I got them. They're just beautiful. Well, they're going to play that music at the funeral home, her playing on the piano, digital piano. So that will be there as well. And then there's going to be a meal, not here because of size and special needs, but we're going to be at the Salvation Army Church for the kitchen there. So we'll be there after the service at 3 o'clock. And we're going to need some of our people, 6 to 8 dishes that we would take to the meal. The Reorganized Church will be bringing the chicken, and the Seventh-day Adventist Church will be picking up the rest of the meal, but it's particularly vegetable lasagna. So we got all that nailed down Friday afternoon. So that's the way it plays out. So just remember the family in your prayers for them. Many things in our life that calls for God's grace. Remember, this is the season of Lent. And we would like to see our people, plus special people from the community, anybody, we're open. We have a 1 o'clock service on Wednesdays and a 7 o'clock service on Wednesdays as well. And then we have the funeral dinner, memorial dinner for Doug the next day. We stand as we sing our offertory.
Generous God, you feed us with the harvest of the land, and you provide for every need. Receive our gifts of money, imagination, labor, and transform them into the feast that welcomes all. In Jesus Christ, our host and our guest.
Amen. The Lord be with you.
also with you.
Lift up your hearts. We lift them to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give thanks and praise. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread. He gave thanks. He broke it. He gave it to his disciples. He said, take and eat, for this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. After the meal, he took the cup of wine and he gave thanks. He gave it for all to drink and he said, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. It's shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me. So it's with this bread and with this cup, we remember our Lord's Passover from death to life as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died, Christ is risen, and Christ will come again. Let us pray as our Lord has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Come to the table. Feast on God's abundant life for you. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. We continue with the distribution and singing our hymns, My Faith Looks Up to Thee. And if we have time, I Am the Bread of Life. Scott. This is Christ's body for you. Take and eat. This is Christ's blood shed for you, Scott. Take and drink. Depart in our Lord's peace. Amen. Service continues from page 19. If you'll please rise for the blessing. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, bless and keep you now and forever. Amen.
Tender and merciful one, at your feast you fed us, who brought us nothing, turning our emptiness into joy. Filled with your abundant grace, send us now to be ministers of reconciliation, mending broken hearts and working for justice and striving for peace among all people in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen. God fills the creation with abundance. Christ, who spreads his arms in forgiveness. The Holy Spirit, who draws us ever near to us. Bless and keep you to life everlasting. Amen. Closing hymn, Eternal Father, Strong to Save, also called the Navy Hymn.
Savior Lutheran Church begins each Sunday at 8:30 here on WPHM, Port Huron.